crashed last night, and I lost my notes for tonight. Thankfully, I remembered most of them and retyped them up. So, the Lord's in control, I guess. Maybe he thought I had something wrong and made me redo it and cut that out. But, Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14 tonight, and we'll be focusing starting in verse 8. Philippians 3 and verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfected, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at this passage of your word, we pray that you would speak to us, that my words wouldn't get in the way, that you would speak clearly through me and help us to see what your message is to us in this passage, and that we would apply it to our lives. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So in verses 4 through 6 of this chapter, we saw what Paul was saying about where he came from, what he had in this world before he was saved, his ancestry, his prestige, the things that he had to boast about in the flesh. Then in verse 7 he said, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. The things that he held dear, the things that he valued highly. When he came to know Christ, he saw how worthless they were and how meaningless they were when compared to Christ. And he counted them lost. They lost all their value in his eyes. They lost any worth that they might have had. Why was he willing to give those things up? Why was he willing to count them lost? Those things, they just weren't important to him anymore. They weren't what he was trusting in for salvation. He realized that his salvation was by grace, and it didn't have anything to do with him. And so what had to do with him no longer mattered. All that mattered was Christ. He realized how much better Christ really is, and everything else just paled in comparison to Christ. He says he counted them loss for Christ. For Christ's sake, so that Christ would be exalted rather than Paul. And also just because Christ is so much better than anything in this world. Let's move on to verse 8. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Not only did he renounce these things when he got saved, but not only the past tense did he say, I counted them loss, but he's saying, I count them loss now. They're still worthless. Looking back, they don't have any value anymore. Christ is still worth what he was when I got saved. Christ is still worth it. If I had a chance to do it again, he's saying, I would do it again. I would do the same thing because Christ is still worth more than the things of this world. So why did he count them worthless? He says it's for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And here he's not talking about a saving knowledge. He's not talking about coming to know Christ as his Savior. He's talking about that personal, intimate relationship, getting to know Christ, getting to know his character, what he's like, and forgetting the things of this world. And he saw that what God cares about a person is their relationship with Christ, how close they are to Christ, not what family they're from, not if their parents were saved or if their grandparents were saved, not what kind of church they come from, but what kind of relationship they have with Christ, how much they care about Christ, how much they want to get to know him, and how much they do know him. He says here, the knowledge of Christ Jesus, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and you count them but dung, count them but rubbish. Here Paul is not saying that not only did he see how worthless the things of this world were, but he actually did lose them. He actually did suffer the loss of these things. His power was taken from him. He was persecuted. He was tortured for the sake of the gospel. So he physically lost those things that he now counted worthless. But looking back, he still counts them as dung. He isn't sad that he's lost them. He doesn't regret losing them. Rather, he says, they're still worthless. Even though he lost them, they're still worthless. They haven't regained their value in his eyes by losing them. And I think that's an important lesson to us. If we ever leave behind the things of this world to follow Christ, he will never disappoint us. We will never look back on the things of this world and wish we could have them back and give up Christ. The things of this world can disappoint. They'll promise more than they can deliver. Think about commercials. They promise the world and they never deliver. Christ will always deliver. Christ will always satisfy us, fulfill us, like the things of this world just can't do. We'll never be disappointed with him. Paul says here, that I may win Christ. Whereas before, he was trying to win this world. His goal was to advance in this world. Now his goal is to advance in his relationship with Christ. His goal is to win Christ, to gain Christ. Christ is what is valuable to him now. His relationship with him is what is valuable now. And his goal is to get to know him better and to learn to serve him better. Verse 9. He says, and be found in him. At the end of all this, Paul wants to be found on the Lord's side, so to speak, to be covered by the Lord. His defense in the last day will be that he is covered with the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We're covered by the righteousness of Christ. And that's the only way that we're justified in God's sight. And our own righteousness, we know, is like filthy rags, worthless in God's sight. And that's the thought that Paul has in the next part of the verse. He says, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And our own righteousness is worthless in God's sight. It has no value. Our righteousness comes from the law, how well we keep the law, how well we do things in men's sight. Our self-righteousness, our blamelessness before men is based on what we do or what we don't do. But the righteousness of God is completely by grace. None of us would be here if not for grace. And once Paul had been worried about his self-righteousness, he'd been a Pharisee, he'd been worried about what people thought about him. But now, that doesn't matter anymore. Now, his relationship with God and his standing before God, his righteousness, the righteousness of Christ that's covering him, is what he cares about. We know that we can only receive this righteousness by faith. We know that. Every believer receives that from Christ forever, and is sealed by it. Moving on to verse 10. Paul says, that I may know him. Here again, Paul isn't talking about a saving knowledge. Again, he's talking about that relationship with Christ, that closeness to Christ. That's all that he's worried about now. He wants to get to know Christ better, and to leave behind his knowledge of the world, and the things that he had before. that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The Lord's power was most clearly shown at his resurrection. Other men had raised other dead people, but no man had ever raised himself from the dead. Only God could do that. And the Lord Jesus Christ showed that he was God by doing that. By defeating all the power of hell that was trying to hold him in the grave, he broke out, broke those chains, and rose again from the dead. And we can know that power. We can have that power. That power is at our backs. We can tap into that power by prayer. And maybe sometimes we don't realize that. We don't think about the power of God and how much power we really have. We think, well, prayer isn't really the important thing. The important thing is what I'm doing for God. But prayer is one of the most important things we can do. One of the most powerful things we can do. Now, we're even going to do that tonight later on. So let's never lose sight of the power of prayer and the power that we have through prayer. Paul says in the next part of the verse that he wants to know the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul wanted to have common ground with his Lord in suffering. By suffering for his Lord, he would be identifying with him. The Lord said in John 15, verses 20 and 21, you don't have to turn there, but he said, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake." The world still hates the Lord, just as much as it did back when he was here. Still hates everything about him. And if we are truly his servants, if we are truly living the way that he lived, the world will persecute us just the same as it did him. And if we aren't being persecuted, maybe we aren't showing Christ. Maybe we aren't visibly being Christ-like. Maybe that's why the world isn't being offended at us. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Something to think about. The next part of the verse says, "being made conformable unto his death." Again, seeing how the Lord was treated and how the Lord was killed, Paul wasn't willing to live an easy life, to be comfortable in this world. He'd been on the other side. He'd been one of those who'd been persecuting Christians, throwing them in jail and killing them for proclaiming the name of Christ. And now he was willing to be persecuted. He was willing to die even for his Lord. And he eventually did. Are we willing to suffer? Are we willing to be persecuted for the Lord? Or are we too comfortable in our lives? Are we comfortable with the way things are? Again, something to think about. Verse 11. He said, "if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." This is a difficult concept. I didn't know what this meant. But some commentators think this isn't really talking about the literal resurrection of the dead, but that Paul simply wanted to live a life of his worthy of his resurrection from spiritual death. Excuse me, from a spiritual death and sin. And others would say that the phrase "by any means" here doesn't necessarily express doubt, but rather Paul is looking forward to the time when he will be raised from the dead, even if that means a violent death first. Honestly, I don't know what this means. I can't give an answer for that. And maybe some of you have studied this out and know what it means, and I definitely appreciate you telling me, but I can't give an answer for what that means. So let's move on to verse 12. Verse 12 says, "not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Here Paul is saying that he hadn't reached the point of perfection, the point of completion of his ministry. He'd been chosen for a ministry, a specific ministry, and he realized that he hadn't completed or fulfilled that ministry, and he realized he had more work to be done. There was more work to be done, and he had to do it. And so he says he follows after. He's going to follow after. He's going to continue on. He's going to keep at it, keep at the work that he knows he has to do. And he talks about apprehending that for which also he was apprehended, laying hold of what he was laid hold of for. Christ laid hold of him. Christ chose him for a ministry, and now he wants to choose that ministry and take hold of that ministry and complete it. And I think that has an important application. When we're saved, Christ gives us a ministry and chooses us for a work. But we can choose to reject that work. We can choose not to do it. We have a choice. He has chosen us for this ministry. Now we have to make a choice. Are we going to obey him? Are we going to choose this ministry and fulfill it? Or are we going to reject it and live our lives the way we want to? Paul chose to lay hold of that ministry, to choose that ministry, and to complete it, to follow after, to stick at it until it was done. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here Paul, I think, is getting to his climax. You have to feel the feeling in this verse. The pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. This first verse, verse 13, refers back to the first part of the passage that we looked at. Paul had left his old life behind. He had left behind those things that were important to him. And now he was reaching forward. He's pushing behind those things that he's left behind him and reaching forward for the prize. He sees the prize at the end of the race. He's like a runner coming down the home stretch. He sees the end of the race ahead of him, and he doesn't slow down. He starts to sprint. He starts to race towards the end. He's not going to slow down now. He's not going to falter now. He's going to push on hard, even harder than he has so far, and he's going to break through the end. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there's a crown laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day, and not to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. What greater thing could we have than to look forward to than hearing those words, well done, good and faithful servant? That's what Paul was looking forward to. He was seeing that crown at the end, that prize at the end of the journey, that reward at the end of the Christian life, that incorruptible crown that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give each one of us, so we can then cast at his feet, showing what a great Lord he is. So looking at this passage, may we not falter in our Christian walk. May we not get discouraged by opposition or persecution. May we not become comfortable and complacent in our lives and forget what we were chosen for. May we choose that ministry that we were chosen for. May we press forward and complete the ministry that we are meant to do. May we always look forward to that final day, pressing forward toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, when we think about this passage, let us not forget these things. Let us apply them to our lives. Help us to grow closer to you through what we've heard tonight, to realize how important it is to know you better. Realize how wonderful that knowledge is, and how much better it is than anything in this world. And may we press towards that and leave behind the things of this world to get to know you better for the excellency of that knowledge. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.